Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and it looks this is how it's going to start out. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't get over there to happen to check out yesterday's blog yet, don't worry, it's hanging out right there at the top of the page. Just swing on over and take a look for yourself. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, I am out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and that is B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E if you are trying to hunt me down there. So, all right, well, let's roll out with a little baseball since we did have some games already in the books here. Let me see what I got for you. I got the Twins beating the White Sox 10-5. The Indians shut out the Tigers 2-0. The A's beat the Royals 9-8, and the Rays beat the Astros by that same 9-8 score. Let's jump in, see what kind of stats we got. Help you out there for fantasy today. Maybe your guys were good enough to put up some numbers for you, and we'll see how things go. All right, we'll start with the Twins here. Jose Berrios picks up the win. He improves to 11-7. Six innings, he gave up seven hits, three runs all earned. He did walk a couple, but he struck out eight. Yeah. Okay. You know, I with the Twins, I can never kind of keep track of, you know, who's on the team and who's not. But this is Randy Dubnyk is what I'm going with here. He actually picked up the save today because he pitched the final three innings. He gave up five hits. He didn't give up two runs, but they were unearned. So he gets his first save. I'm going to guess there aren't a whole bunch of people who have Randy Dubnyk in their fantasy league. As we switch over to the White Sox here, Dylan Cease got the start, and it was not a good one. He lasted just two innings, 10 hits, eight runs, all earned, walked three and struck out two. His record falls to 3-7. So, yeah, not the best there. Let's see what we got twins-wise. It looks like C.J. Cron doubled and homered. So there's a big plus off for everybody there. And it looks like Jake Cave hit two bombs for the Twins. So if you're involved there, I know I have Cron in a league, so that's a good number for me. No homers for the White Sox today, but they did get three doubles. Matt Skol got a double, and Jose Abreu got two doubles. Just putting up some numbers. Jorge Polanco had two hits, scored two runs for Minnesota. Nelson Cruz had two hits and drove in three. Eddie Rosario had two hits, scored a run, and drove in a run. I mentioned Cave. He had two hits, two runs, two RBIs, so obviously he hit two solo shots. Cron had three hits, so he had a single besides the home run and the double, scored two runs, drove in three, and then Jonathan Scope had three hits and scored a run. On the White Sox side, Jose Abreu had a really good day, even in the loss. Four hits and five at-bats, scored a run, drove in an RBI. You know, two of those hits were doubles. Eloy Jimenez had two hits, scored a run, drove in a run. And then Yomer Sanchez had two hits, scored a run, and drove in a run. So, you know, there's your solid, you know, numbers off of that game. Let's see who where else we can go and who else we can find here. Let's if you've listened to the podcast at all, it takes a little while for my internet to catch up with me sometimes. I don't know why. My only guess is this time of day there's heavy traffic. and it just kind of slows everything down, and it takes a while for me to get going. But let's jump into the Indians Tigers game. Again, the Indians won this game 2-0. So you're probably not going to get a lot of offensive stats here, as the Indians just had 7 hits. The Tigers only had 4, and not scoring isn't going to help. But maybe you got some good pitching here, obviously. Mike Clevinger picked up the win, improved his record to 10-2. 8 innings, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, and 10 big strikeouts for Clevinger. Brad Hand picked up the save, pitched one perfect inning. That was his 33rd save of the year. Pitched one perfect inning and struck a guy out. Daniel Norris, who was a little bit of talk at the trade deadline there, what the Tigers were going to do with him, he took the loss, went just 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. It was earned. Walked the guy, struck out 4. I don't know if it was an injury situation or not, but, you know, to go 3 innings and only throw 59 pitches, you do have to kind of wonder. You know, for the Indians here, Francisco Lindor hit his 25th home run. That was their only extra base hit. And then for the Tigers here, it is, they kind of shuffle these through and that guys through, and the Tigers have two guys named Castillo in their lineup today. I'm going to guess this is Willie, W-I-L-L-I. It's got to be pronounced Willie, right? Willie Castro. Hit a double there for the Tigers. That was their only extra base hit. So, otherwise, let's see what we got. The only guy with 2 hits in the Indians lineup for the day was Yu Chang, the guy who's filling in at third base while Ramirez is out. No surprise, with just 4 hits, the Tigers didn't have anybody with multiple hits. Victor Reyes, both Castillos had a hit, and Jordy Mercer had the 4th hit. So, that's where they were. So yeah, no surprise, not a lot of offensive numbers put up in that game. So we will jump over a little bit here. We'll get the first 9-8 game, which was the Rays beating the Royals. Yusmeiro Petit picked up the win there in relief for the A's. He improved to 4-3. Maybe if you had him as a setup guy, it worked out. Chris Bassitt was the starter. 4 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, 3 were earned, walked 1, struck out 1. We did have Joachim Soria and Jake Diekman both pick up holds before Liam Hendricks came in, pitched an inning and 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, no walk, 5 strikeouts to get his 17th save. On the Royal side, Glenn Sparkman took the loss. He drops to 3-10, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 7 runs. They were all earned. Walked 1, struck out 1. For the A's here, what do we have? We have, is that Curtis Joseph? No, he's playing second base. No, that's gotta be a prospect, right? Let's check out the name here, cause I don't remember him being able to play second base. Yeah, thank you. Corbin Joseph was at second base for the A's today. He hit a double. Mark Kahana hit a double. Chad Pinder doubled. And so did, what am I looking at here? Was it Sterling Brown? Is that the prospect they brought up? And, you know, again, with all the movement we've had lately, I got to just keep checking these names. Seth Brown. That's right. They made a big deal about bringing him up when they designated Nick Martini. So Seth Brown also doubled. Jerkson Profar hit his 17th home run. Extra bases on the Royals side. Alex Gordon had a double. So did Chester Cutbirth. And Jorge Soler hit his 37th home run. Multiple hit-wise, Marcus Semien was 2 for 5 with a run and an RBI. I mentioned Seth Brown double. He was 4 for 5 with 3 runs scored and 2 RBIs. Besides the home run, Profar had 3 hits total in the game in 4 plate appearances, scored 2 runs, and drove in 3. On the Royals side, Whit Merrifield had 3 hits and scored 2 runs. But the only other Royal with multiple hits was Ryan O'Hearn, who got 2 hits, scored a run, and drove a run in. And let's get to our last 9-8 game here, our last final of the day so far, is the Tampa Bay Rays picked up that win over the Houston Astros. So let's see what we got going on here in the box score. Wow, okay. Jose De Leon, you remember him? He was a big-time prospect for the Rays who kept getting hurt. actually worked an inning in relief and picked up the win. Emilio Pagan picked up the save, his 15th of the year. It was definitely a a bullpen day, as they would call it, for the Rays. Now it's the opener, as they use 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers. Chad Rowe did get a hold, if you happen to have him, and they're still loading those things up in your league. I know our league uses them. I know too many don't. If you do have Colin, I believe this is Posse, or maybe it's Poche. He blew a save today, so that's gonna be a tough call there for you. On the Astros side, Zach Greinke got the start, but he didn't take the loss. He did have a rough outing. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs all earned, 1 walk, but he did tally 8 strikeouts. Joe Smith picks up a blown save if you got him, but it's Chris Devinsky who gets saddled with not only with the loss, but with a blown save. So some pitching there. Extra base-wise, G-Man Choi and Austin Meadows doubled for the Rays. Meadows also added his 24th home run. And Travis Dinald, all of a sudden, he puts the Tampa Bay uniform on. All of a sudden, he's the player everybody thought he was going to be. Picked up his 14th home run. On the Astros side, Robinson Chirinos hit a double. And it was Jose Altuve with his 25th homer, George Springer with his 28th homer. And, that's right. I saw this was his, I believe it was his first major league at bat. Toro is his last name. He was playing third base for the Astros today. Let me jump on and get his first name here real quick. Abraham Toro. I don't know if it was I don't think it was his major league debut, but I believe I heard them say it was his first major league hit, and it just happened to be a home run. Guys with multiple hits here, we had the Rays really rocked it up here. Eric Sogard, Austin Meadows, Tommy Pham, G-Man Choi, and Avisail Garcia all picked up 2 hits, while Travis Dinald picked up 3. For the Astros, the only guy who got multiple hits was Jose Altuve. He picked up 2 hits. So, there's some stat numbers for you on how things went early, and hopefully you had the right guys in, and it all worked out, because I know some leagues are in their playoffs right now. So, that could be big numbers if you had the right guys in. The rest of the night looks like this. We got the Cubs wrapping up their series with the Mets. It's John Lester against Jacob DeGrom. The Reds are at the Marlins. That's the Mickey Mouse Network Plus game. Alex Wood and Robert Duggar are the starters there. The Mariners are at the Rangers. The King takes the mound for the Mariners, Felix Hernandez, with Lance Lynn going for the Rangers. I read that Lynn is supposed to be a big-time fantasy play tonight, so if you're in on that, you may want to look into that. The Pirates are at the Rockies. We get Trevor Williams against Chichi Gonzalez, and my guess is it's not the golfer because he's probably 80. The Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks. Hyun-Jin Ryu takes the mound there for the Dodgers, and it's Merrill Kelly for the Diamondbacks. And then we wrap up the night with the Padres at the Giants. We get Chris Paddock and Derek Rodriguez making the starts there. And I was rambling on. I didn't even realize that Dan had stopped by. So I'll see if we can get Dan to come in, if everything will work out for us, and we should be all set. So did that work, Dan? Did that actually bring you in, or maybe not? Are we having switchboard problems today? There we go. Okay. Well, I kind of heard him. There was some movement.
Oh, I'm here. I just thought you were still going over.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't realize you were there. I was kind of going over things on the website, and I didn't realize you had made it from your new job, so. Just kind of running out the string there, get everybody caught up on what went on, and see how it goes. That's what while I was thinking about it, I should check and see if all my guys ended up in the starting lineup tonight on FanDuel. Obviously, that would be bad if they didn't.
we'll see what.
Yeah, you know, it was humorous. You know, I get that weekly free play from FanDuel, and this week it was it's preseason football. You know, it's like, why do I want a preseason football free? I mean, I get it. You can win money on it and stuff, but it's the final preseason game. None of the starters are going to play. You know, it's like, is this what I really want here? Oh, you're underwater. I couldn't hear you. And I tried again, you were still buried there. No, all right, well, we'll see if Dan can get recycled and we can check that out. I did see that I had Hunter Renfrow in my original lineup and he wasn't starting. So I swapped him out. I didn't have a ton of money, so I'm going with Sam Hillard because he's making the start for the Rockies tonight, and I figure it's in Colorado, and maybe I'll get lucky and he'll homer. So. You know, we'll just have to kind of check out how that goes. So. But, yeah, you know, I had another pretty lucky night last night on FanDuel, so hopefully it will kind of keep rolling today. I had a little difficult time selling myself on pitching. Everybody really seemed to like Jacob DeGrom, and I get that there's a chance he could go out and have a shutdown outing, but you know, it was a lot of money to spend, and obviously he's going against a good team. And then you get, I mentioned Lance Lynn as a good play. You know, normally anybody who pitches against like Seattle or, Baltimore or Detroit or, even Kansas City at times, they're looked at as good fantasy plays. So, but yeah, it was a little tough, but I everything's checked out and all my guys are in, so I'm okay. Just that one correction. All right. You got a better connection this time? Yeah, you sound a little better this time.
So you entered the preseason one?
Yeah, well, it was free, so I figured I would do it. But, who do you pick? I mean, you don't know who's going to play or, anything like that at all. So I was like, well, okay, I'll give this a – give this a shot. I was just kind of like, literally picking names out of a hat. I know I didn't want any starters. So, it was just kind of like, I'll take some guys I think might play. I don't know. I was just trying to pick backups, and then, you got to take a defense. So I just took Seattle's defense because I like Seattle. Then, there was no strategy involved there at all. So if this thing wins any money, it's just complete luck. It's got nothing to do with me having any talent or skill. Because, I couldn't tell you one way or the other who's going to play and who's not. So... I don't know. You got an idea? Would you have a better idea?
No, not at all.
So, but yeah, I was just kind of like, all right, let's take a shot with these guys, and I know this guy's name. Let's put him in, and let's go this way and see how it works. But yeah, it is. You know, the last week of preseason, thank God. So, you know, we can get into the second preseason after this one.
Man.
So, but yeah, since, you know, I started off with baseball while you were catching up to us. You know, I heard them mention today there's some people who think it's a must-win for the Mets tonight. You know, they've lost five in a row. They got their best pitcher going, obviously, Jacob DeGrom. But he is facing John Lester. I know Lester has struggled his last couple outings. But, you know, he still is John Lester, so you never know what you're going to get out of him. Do you have this as a must-win? It's got to be a win for the Mets tonight.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely a must-win.
Because, yeah, I'm not sure. Let me see if I can get a quick internet response here. Do you know off the top of your head if the Mets and the Cubs play each other again?
No, they don't.
So, yeah, I was kind of thinking this would be it. So that leaves the Mets with no chance to make ground on the Cubs. Obviously, they would still have a chance to make up ground on the Nationals because that's a division team. They'll probably see them maybe multiple times again. So,
yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons I think the interleague is stupid because, you know, like, they only have two series against each other for their National League, East and West.
So, yeah, you know, that's just, it's just kind of how it goes. Yeah, it looks like the Mets go on the road after tonight. They head to Philadelphia. They got Philadelphia and Washington. They go Philadelphia again. Before they go out and they play the NL West. So that's interesting. They do wrap it up with a three-game series against the Braves. So, you know, the Braves may not have anything to play for. Maybe that'll help them out at the end, but they're going to have to find a way to stay close. So I guess that does kind of make, you know, tonight, pretty much a must win for them. They got to end this winning streak and or losing streak, excuse me, you know, that reached five in a row. So we shall see how it works out tonight. What are they now? How many back are they now? They're four back now.
Four.
Got two teams ahead of them. So, you know, it's always difficult to jump teams. So they definitely need to figure whatever they're doing out. So, yeah, you know, it looks like, you know, everybody's about under 30 games to play here as we're winding down. What's too far of a number to come back from if you're a wild card team? Because looking here, you know, I mentioned the Mets before. The Diamondbacks are 4.5. The Giants are 6. And the Reds are 8. You know, in the American League, the only other real team that's 5.5. What's too big of a number in your mind to get back over the hump?
Six.
All right, so you have the National League, then you have the Giants and the Reds gone, Boston still hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
So, we will have to see. Yeah, you know, unless you're, you know, and of course, it's being reasonable. I mean, if a team happened, you know, say the Giants went out and they went, you know, 30-5 or whatever over their last few games, obviously that would be an anomaly. And, you know, but if it's just regular, you know, you're playing your average baseball kind of thing is what I mean. I know, you know, a team can get hot and take off and, you know, all that stuff. So don't hold to that if the team explodes and all hell breaks loose. So. You know, just kind of one of those, you know, that would be like that'd be a weird anomaly, but you know, it has happened. We've seen teams go on big streaks. So, I don't know if we've seen one go on one to end to that, but you know, because what was it? Yeah, you know, the Indians won. They beat two in a row, was it a couple years ago? And then, you know, the Giants won just about every game they played in July. So.
Yeah. Well, no, sadly, I think Boston's on the cusp of where they're not going to make it or overcome it.
Yeah, I they're barely hanging on. I just can't see them. You know, they did announce today, I know we talked about it yesterday, David Price is set to be activated Sunday, you know, and he's going to make the start. But I just think it's too little too late, you know, at this point for them.
Sale's out for the season then?
Yeah. Yeah, they have Sale listed as being out for the season. So. But, yeah, and then I thought, humorously, you know, you brought this up. You mentioned listening to A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball and his kind of taking analytics. I don't know if you saw the highlight of this last night, but the Orioles had another dugout argument. You know, earlier in the year, Chris Davis and the manager, former Cubs coach Brandon Hyde, went at it in the dugout. Well, last night, reliever Richard Dwyer got into an argument with third base coach Jose Flores as he was coming off the field. And apparently Dwyer was upset, you know, because some of the hits he gave up would have been out had the Orioles not been shifting. You know, they would have just played a semi-regular defensive type of lineup. You know, these baseballs would have been out, but they were all over the analytics. And, you know, they had everybody move to the position where, you know, there's seven guys on one side of the field and just one guy on the other. He ended up giving them quite a few hits. And when he came off the field, he was a little upset about it. And they ended up getting into a pretty heated argument. You know, and the coach Flores wouldn't let it go. Blyer walked past him, and Flores actually followed him and had to be stopped by some other players. So I'm wondering if maybe Flores is responsible for the defensive alignment, and he kind of took it personally. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, again, it's another analytic thing you look at. You know, a team buying these analytics and guys going against them. I don't know. Have you had a chance to see or run that highlight down by any chance?
No, I missed that one.
You know, and then are you buying this pitcher's opinion? Because I can kind of see where he's coming from. You know, I mean, he ended up giving up three runs on four hits. He only got one guy out, and he could have worked a pretty clean inning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely cause for concern.
So, yeah, I just kind of thought that was quite quite interesting that obviously, you know, the metrics worked against them because whatever they had going on just, guys either out hit them or however it worked out. But yeah, it was just like, okay. Cause it's not like he was out there giving up, you know, bombs, you know, there's nothing you could do about that. I mean, there were a couple ground outs. Well, that what would have been ground outs, but there was nobody standing there. So, you know, I could kind of understand his frustration. He, you know, probably a better, there would have been a better way for him to handle it, but I definitely understand why he was upset. So, you know, I thought that was quite the, you know, quite the interesting argument they had. Of course, you know, it also doesn't help that Baltimore's been getting their brains beat in all season. So, you know. So, you know, then I did see, you know, it didn't affect them today. They did still get the win. But Matt Chapman got the day off for the A's after getting hit in the head. You know, he got hit by a pitch in the head, I should say. Do you think he's the one guy the A's can't lose?
Ooh, yeah, I think so. I mean, you definitely want to give him the extra days off, but they can't afford to lose him.
Yeah, because, you know, I know, like, the Cubs are in a similar position now because, you know, I saw that Anthony Rizzo isn't going to play again tonight. So, you know, I mean, he's probably the, you know, the best leader on the Cubs. I think that's where Chapman kind of fits in. You know, not only is Chapman a great player and, you know, a top defender, I think he won not only the Gold Glove last year but the Platinum Glove. So, you know, he definitely fits in more, and hopefully this isn't long-term. So, you know, have to kind of see how it goes. But, yeah, they managed today without him. Even though it was a close one, you know, 9-8. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how it goes if it, you know, if it develops into anything more serious. I think I did read that he doesn't have to go into the concussion protocol. So that's obviously good news. You know, the A's will just be able to manage him day to day and see how he's doing. But yeah, still a scary situation there. He kind of seemed to me like, yeah, he's the one A that they just, you know, they can't get by without. And I know even though he's having a down year, I saw that Chris Davis went on the paternity list. So, you know, not only did Chapman get dinged up, he had to go without Davis for a few days as well. You know, and they're hanging on to, you know, they've got the big fight with Tampa Bay there for that second wild card spot. So, you know, interestingly, they ended up on Monday.
Now, speaking of, what was 9 months ago?
December?
Okay. December? Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just. It just seemed like several players all went on the fraternity list in the last like 3 weeks. You know, Cole Hamels,
yeah,
win,
you know,
Bryce Harper win.
Yeah, you know, besides Christmas, I can't really think of anything specific. So. You know, of course,
yeah, well,
that doesn't.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess going back, you said December, but I think we should go back to November. So, you know, maybe Thanksgiving was a great time for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it seems like it. Well, at least it worked out for them.
Yeah.
Here, you know, he's 21. He's only got 19 home runs. So it's, you know, normally, you know, he can so oddly, in the year of the home run, the big time power hitter for the A's isn't hitting home runs. So just you know, again, one of those odd things with baseball this year. you know, everybody's hitting home runs except the guy who is, you know, hit as many or, you know, more home runs than most guys probably the last three seasons. So I guess I guess that's just how it goes. But, you know, I mean, he's still got, you know, who knows if he, you know, once he comes back from, you know, his paternity leave, he could get hot and still end up with 30, you know, which is nothing to sneeze at, you know, even though I'm sure there were a lot of people with the way the baseball is this year, probably expected him to hit, you know, 50 or 60. But, so we'll, you know, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, he's one of those guys I always kind of get a kick out of because he didn't really fit any of the real, you know, metrics anybody put on him. You know, he was just kind of a home run hitter. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, sooner than later, the metrics guys are going to completely take it up the rear or stick their foot in their mouth so far they can't pull it out. Is that how I should refer to it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because everything happens in cycles. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just sitting here, I don't know about you, but just kind of sitting back and waiting for this cycle to be over with.
Yeah. Well, hopefully,
you know, because,
soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, so we had, what, three World Series in a row that were won by teams that were, quote-unquote, rebuilt. I don't know how you feel about Kansas City being in that boat, because, I mean, it did take years for them to kind of get to that spot. Then you had the Cubs who did that tear down rebuild, which, you know, it did work out and they're still at the top of the division. But I mean, they're in a division where it's basically been them, the Cardinals, and one other team for the last 10 years. So it's not like it's been a huge challenge. Well, you know, take away the 100-year lost season. But, I mean, you know, then the Astros did it, but I don't think that was a by-design type deal. I think that's just what they were left with. So, but then Boston won it, and they didn't do a tear-down rebuild. And
no.
You know, when the Yankees win it, it's going to be the same kind of situation. If, you know, even if it's the Yankees versus the Dodgers, you have two teams that didn't tear down and rebuild. And let's just say the Yankees don't get it and it's the Astros. Well, their rebuild worked, but at the same time, they didn't – well, I guess it's still – would you still consider it part of the rebuild since generally the rebuild consists of lining up your batters and then buying pitching, which is what they've done over the last couple of seasons, kind of picking up key pitchers?
The Astros definitely still aren't considered rebuilding. They're rebuilt. You know, same thing with the Cubs. They're rebuilt. You know, once you win it like that, you know, I mean, like the Red Sox last year, you know, they went through that rebuild a while ago. So this team wasn't rebuilding.
Yeah. But, I mean, even when they were kind of rebuilding, they still won that World Series in 2013. So it's not like they won it and then tore the crap down only to come back last year and, like, oh, miraculous win. So, I mean, essentially you really only have two teams, two World Series wins that are now, you know, we're ending three seasons of it for the rebuild to really be the thing, because the rebuild was based on sabermetrics, basically. So I don't know. I just hoping in the next 5 years that maybe we get back to baseball. You know, there was a game I was watching over the last couple of weeks. This is what I wanted to bring up last night before we ran out of time. They had a thing where, I was going to say maybe I was at a game, but I haven't been at a game in a while, where they did a thing where they interviewed players to find out if they knew what each sabermetric stat was. And not a single player got one of them right. I mean, they didn't go with war, which, you know, oddly, Big Jack, we don't hear about that like we used to.
No. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you start looking at these teams who are going to win, and you know, even you know, the contenders now, who's a rebuild? You know, there's nobody on the contender list right now that have rebuilt recently. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an interesting way to see how they kind of frame it, because, you know, that's kind of their bread and butter is sabermetrics and rebuilding teams. You know, when it comes to analyzing games, it seems like that's all they know. So I don't know what they'll do if, you know, teams that just have good players all of a sudden continue to win.
Well, and I know how you feel about sabermetrics to begin with, and then a little bit on the analytics, but do you think that was like an easy cop-out so that people aren't having to do as much work? And what I mean by actually doing much work is actually physically being there and watching these games and watching players play, you know, the true eye test, as opposed to just throwing a bunch of numbers into an Excel spreadsheet or whatever, you know, program you created or some other genius created that spits out all these numbers and supposed to tell you how things are going to go. I mean, no one brings up the Pecota thing anymore, do they?
Well, we did, remember, after the Cubs got off to a good start. I remember that they had them losing 100 games, but, you know, and all the Cubs fans were right on board with it, too. They thought it was going to be a bad year, you know. But, yeah, I think cop-out could be a really good term to use for it. I mean, it's easy to, type all your numbers into a computer and say, okay, this guy's supposed to be that, but I haven't seen him. So how do I know?
Well, I mean, even with the minor leaguers, you know, and then he comes up. You know, everyone was expecting the second coming of Ian Happ to save the Cubs and, you know, really push them over. And, you know, I was just shunned on posts about Ian Happ. Well, a lot could change in 3 months and la, 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 la. And what changed? He had a pretty good first week, and now we don't even hear about him anymore. And they had to bring Addison Russell up, which I thought was very interesting, Big Jack, was not last night, Tuesday night. Addison Russell was the guy who got the interview after the game was over. But I'll be right back.
Oh, wow. So, it's always a treacherous kind of road to go down. One of the interesting things is, you know, the Reds called up, you know, that, God, you know, and I always butcher his name, Agonis Aquino, you know, however we want to, you know, we want to go with it. And humorously, he was not rated as a high prospect. You know, he wasn't a guy looked at as, you know, this guy who was going to come in a la, you know, Eloy Jimenez or, these other guys, you know, the Bo Bichette's, Vlad Guerrero type of guys. He wasn't looked at as one of those type of guys. But yet here he is 26 games into his major league career. He's got 13 home runs. He's hitting 315. Now, you know, part of it may be the fact that they don't have a book on him yet. And, you know, once they kind of get, you know, who he is and what, you know, what type of player he is, you know, those numbers may change a little bit. But, yeah, you know, it just kind of goes to show that it doesn't really matter, you know, or a lot of times they just don't know. You know, just because they've plugged all these numbers into a, you know, into a computer and it's spit out, you know, whatever you got. I mean, you got to remember, until the last few years, or it might have been last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, Dwight Smith was considered a better first base prospect in the Mets organization than Pete Alonso. Okay, now Alonso just set the Mets rookie record for home runs with 42. But, he's got 42 right now. But Smith was looked at those, you know, first few years as the guy who was the heir apparent at first base. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. You know, but I mean, there's quite a few names you start looking at, you know, rookies who are having a really good year. You know, Mike Yastrzemski's having a really nice year for the Giants. You know, nobody was talking about him at the beginning of the season. There was, you know, no name value there. You know, the Dodgers just brought up this catcher, Will Smith. Now, he was a high prospect in their organization, but he wasn't expected to be ready this year. Now it looks like, you know, they've sent Austin Barnes to the minors. You know, Russell Martin can't play every day. It looks like they're going to go into the postseason with a rookie as the number one catcher. Nobody had that. You know, no matter what numbers they plugged in the computer, it didn't spit this out. So, yeah, it's just one of those... You know, I don't know, call it anomaly, whatever you want to, you know, you want to describe it as, but, it's kind of a flawed system in a way when, you know, it comes down to this, because it can't measure everything and it can't see everything that you can see going to watch the guy play. You know, and that's where you need your scouting department. Now, you know, obviously, you know, I've said this before on here. I don't need analytics to tell me Mike Trout is a great player. But yet they do that all the time. They run Mike Trout analytics at you because they're trying to prove that it works. You know, it's like any science test you do. You want to make sure your first one is going to work. You want it to be positive so you can run it out there and, you know, do whatever else you got to do with it. Maybe you need to get a grant or you're trying to sell it to some big pharma company or something. So you want these positive results, and that's what they're doing to you. Here, look, these analytics say that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Did I need that? You know, did somebody need to tell me that? You know, did I need these numbers to know that Mike Trout was the best player in baseball? No, I don't think so. But if you could have plugged these numbers in and told me that Luis Arraez was going to come up and help the Twins in the pennant race, I would be really impressed with your numbers. You know, or that Brian Reynolds of the Pirates was going to have a shot at winning the batting title in the National League because he's hit 330 this year. That would have been impressive. Did anybody tell you that at the beginning of the year, Dan? Because I don't remember hearing anything about those guys. So,
nope, and I got your strategy for the waiver.
Right. What did these numbers tell you? You know, what does analytics tell you?
Not a whole lot. Well, and you know, that's the other thing. Like you bring up about Mike Trout being the best player in Major League Baseball. What does that really matter? That's one of the things I don't understand about the game of baseball. They need to quit. They need to get off the best guy in the game kind of BS, because what has that gotten Mike Trout aside from MVP votes and All-Stars? Well, don't get me wrong. It got him $400 million extension, but let's be honest. It's not because he's the best player in baseball. It's because he's a great player to begin with, and the Angels weren't going to be the crazy ones to let him go. So, you know, you could throw the money things out there, but I'm not – that's at the end of the day, what does Mike Trout not have? A postseason career. So what?
Yeah.
You're going to have a guy at this point, and, I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack, do you even foresee a championship team out of the Angels for the next 4 or 5 years? I don't.
Maybe longer. So.
Well, and I think, you know, what I'm so off on the number because it seemed like, God, it's the longest contract, I think, even longer than any of the ones the Yankees signed. But the Angels have Pujols for what, till 2023 or 24?
I believe so.
Because I know it was like a 10-year. I didn't believe it was. I guess I keep forgetting. But it was a 10-year deal that he signed back in like 14 or 13 or 14. So they've still got some time on him. There's no way you're just going to eat that, especially – you're just not, unless he retires, which I don't see that happening. You know, we still don't really know the full 100% potential of having a designated hitter pitcher with Shohei, because, you know, the Tommy John last year, and how did him playing this year help that? I don't know. But they don't even have a pitching staff, really. I mean, Jerome Williams retired.
Yeah, Pujols has signed through 2021. So they have two more years of him. Yeah, they got two more years of him, but they have three more years of Justin Upton. So, and obviously, you know, like I'm willing to give the pitching staff a pass this year because they had the unfortunate death of Gags, you know, that kind of screws things up for you. But yet, the guys they go on, I mean, I know you've had Andrew Heaney multiple times in our fantasy leagues, and he's been hurt every time you've had him.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, Big Jack, he's not been a guy that I've drafted. He's been a guy I've picked up on the wire.
Yeah. You kind of look at the rest of their rotation, and I mean, it's really young, but is it going to develop? I mean, Patrick Sandoval is almost 23. Jose Suarez is almost 22. Jaime Berrios just turned 23, and Dylan Peters is 27. I know Griffin Canning is hurt, and he was pretty solid this year, but, that's a really young rotation, but it hasn't showed a lot of promise. So where are you going to get this winner for Trout? are free agent pitchers going to be willing to sign there? I mean, are you going to be able to bring in a Garrett Cole or a Madison Bumgarner to kind of lead the staff? And, looking at their staff, they may need both of them.
Yeah, they would. you brought up a funny name with Garrett Cole, because I had to immediately change the station this morning. Our local guys had Ozzy on the team, Ozzy on the radio asking what he thought about, the role of White Sox, i.e. front office, not wanting to give pitchers, long-term deals more than 3 years, which is anticipated for Garrett Cole. I couldn't even finish. I actually don't mind listening to Ozzy. I would take what he had to say, but I knew he had to say what he had to say to try to keep face for the front office and not, you know, totally knock down his former alma mater, so to speak. So I didn't even bother to listen, but I'm just laughing because I'm like, I get it. You're a really big White Sox fan. I'm a big Cub fan. But at the end of the day, I can separate my fandom for realists, the real world. And Gerrit Cole is not going to the south side of Chicago.
No, not on a three, especially on a 3-year deal.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're gonna he's gonna get six from somebody, maybe seven. You know, and the same thing for Bumgarner. I know Bumgarner's had kind of a down year, but you know, somebody's gonna pay him.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I mean, that's just kind of how it. You know, how it kind of, you know, how it works in today's baseball. I mean, these guys are going to get their money, and that's all there really is to it.
No, and the other side of it, though, is with Rick Hahn now there and what, and, you know, I'm not knocking this guy at all because I definitely agreed with his incentive-based contract offer to Manny Machado. And Manny Machado had the opportunity to make probably the most money in Major League Baseball history. But with this season, I would love to know the details of that contract so we could just compare as his contract expires. He wouldn't hit those numbers for the White Sox. But he's not going to hit them for the Padres. But what he is going to is the bank every time he gets a check.
Right, yeah, his paychecks are still cashing. So,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a big off season for the White Sox because I really believe they need to add a big time starting pitcher this year.
Yes.
So, it'll be interesting to see if they kind of break that rule and they go more than the 3 or 4 years that they say they don't want to.
I don't know, and I'm not one of those Cubs fan White Sox haters, so I'd like to see them do well. I just enjoy the game that much, but at the same time, it's like you got to look at all the factors, not the fact that you're just a fan and you want them to go out and shell out all the money for the next great guy. You know, you got to be smart about it. And for any Cub fans that are listening, just be honest, Bumgarner or Gerrit Cole is not going to the north side. They already have – like they have too many second basemen. They already have too many starting pitchers.
But I did want to get to something here before we ran out of time on my conspiracy theory from yesterday. Remember I mentioned to you that DeMarcus Cousins was being investigated for domestic violence and that oddly the Mickey Mouse Network didn't mention it at all? Well, today they actually issued an arrest warrant for him in the state of Alabama because of that. And there was absolutely no word on it on any of the shows I watched on the Mickey Mouse Network. So because there's three shows I watch. I watch High Noon, Highly Questionable, and then PTI. Zero mention of it on any of their shows. So tell me they don't bury bad NBA stories, but yet play up like NFL or anything else they can get their hands on. Because of all the money they've got invested in the NBA. So I don't buy it. There we go. All right. I'm back tomorrow. Dan is going to Minnesota, so we won't see him for the week. Other than that, go over to sportsmanradio.com. Check out what's going on over there.
Sports Time Radio.